This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
You know, in John chapter 4, Jesus made the statement. He said, don't say 4 months and then the harvest. The Bible says, for the fields are white already to harvest. They are ripe and ready. And the Bible tells us in Amos that the plowman is going to overtake the reaper once things bust loose. And we're going to see a super spreader. The harvest. What's going to happen? We're going to see the plowman overtaking the reaper. There's going to be a multiplied harvest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Fred, stand up a minute. I'm going to interview you for a couple of minutes. You found out about a thing. Was that Michael Kalinda, or Kalinda, who has this technique for saving, winning people to Jesus called an open door or something? What do you call that?
It's called Jesus is at the door.
Jesus at the door. What do you remember about it? Give me a couple points on it.
Well, the big thing about Jesus is at the door, you introduce people. It's a discourse that the guy that wrote it, Scott McNamara, who is now the evangelism director for Christ for All Nations,
yeah. He
spent over 8 years in full-time ministry on the street. And the greatest thing about Jesus at the door, it's like riding a bicycle built for two. You put the Holy Spirit up in the front, and he's steering, and you're back there pedaling as fast as you can. And I've seen results. Two nights ago, I led somebody to the Lord at Speedway in New Brighton. We were sitting outside at a little table, 9 o'clock at night. I came back from bringing Gary back from the hospital. I met somebody there, and it was cold out, and they were shivering. But when I prayed the presence of God on them, they felt the heat coming.
Yeah.
And supernatural encounters are supernatural. And it's exciting. I've borne much fruit already.
What do you call it again? Open door.
It's called, and I have more of these cards. It's called Jesus is at the door.
Jesus is at the door.
And there's a complete tutorial on the back. You don't give them this card. The big thing about it is discipleship, though.
Yeah.
Because 5% is getting them born again. 95% is discipling them. And they have an interactive card. You can put it, their phone numbers in your phone. You can call them. You can text them. They don't recommend email. But I have borne great fruit. I led, I think, 2 people today, customers.
Awesome.
I mean, one thing God told me is to not separate
the
wheat and the chaff. And I've had some people that I received my call after ministry school, and my call was Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
Oh, right now.
And I've had people that hardened criminals coming in and weeping because the power of the gospel, it's the gospel itself that has all the power.
That's
the gospel is the sledgehammer.
Amen.
And if we present the gospel to them, all financial difficulties, all that can be done with the gospel.
How many of those cards do you have to spare?
I have 10 pack here today. I got 100 of them in. I got more coming.
If there are 10 people that are sincere here tonight,
I will bring more Sunday. I have more on order.
Could we pass those out right now, Fred?
Yeah, we could pass them out right now.
So if there are 10 people that are sincere about learning about what Fred's talking about.
You use the same card. I passed
ushers,
my one out.
Ushers, come
my
up.
First card, I think I led about 10 or 12 people to Christ. And I planted a lot of seeds. The big thing, there's a QR code on here. And his modus is, we share. He said, salvation is like apples. You got to wait till the apples are ripe. We share, and God shakes the tree.
Yeah.
And I asked them if they're ready. And I've had a few people. They say they're not ready. I don't push it. Because that's what they teach you. If you can talk them into Christianity, if you can talk them in, somebody can talk them out of it. If the Holy Spirit gets them, and that's a big thing, is carrying the presence of God with you. And it's such, I mean, it
now, please don't take these unless you're serious about.
Well, I have more coming, and okay. I have some books coming too.
If you're real sincere,
because there's
take
a great
it.
Book on it, and it's borne a lot of fruit for me, and it's Jesus is at the door.
Amen.
And one thing the Spirit's been leading me is oftentimes people open the door of their heart just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, they can hear a little bit of Jesus out there. But until you open it in, it says, I'm at the door and I'm knocking. And if you open the door, I will come in.
Yeah.
You can't open the door a wee little bit to let Jesus in. You got to open the door all the way, and the handle's on the inside.
Amen.
The handle's on the inside.
Our responsibility.
Yeah, that's our responsibility. And, you know, like the pastor said, it is a reaping season
right now. Yes.
It's not just sowing, it's reaping.
Yes.
And I've had a new boldness. They call it the B-O and the G-O. You got to have B-O and G-O. B-O is boldness and obedience, and G-O is go.
Yeah, amen.
And I had an incident where I was driving up to my farm, and I saw this guy walking along the highway at night. And I drove, it's a busy highway. I went, wait a minute, God said, well, there's an opportunity there. I had to clean my truck out, pull into Dollar General, turn around, go all the way back, pull over on the highway, people blasting horn. This guy got in my truck. I took him to his destination and shared the good news. He wasn't ready yet, but I planted seeds.
That's right.
I got his phone number. I keep texting him scripture. There's only one thing greater than God, and that's his word.
Amen.
And the power of the word of God will break it all down.
That's right.
And I expect to see great fruit.
That is so true. Come on, let's thank God for that. Glory to God. The scriptures Fred made me think of there when he spoke that, he said, I will worship toward thy holy temple. So this is Psalm 138. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Why? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Hallelujah. Matt, would you put that little picture up there, if you would? We're going to get into the word here tonight. That was good. Thank you so much. I think there's a little joke-type picture there you got for us, Matt. And you can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. Here it says, in a world full of people who prefer to be called by pronouns, I've now decided that I want to be known by adjectives. A few examples would be saved, redeemed, delivered, rescued, forgiven, justified, born again, and sanctified. All right? You say, what's sanctified mean? It simply means you're set apart for God. Amen. Not set apart for some stupid worldly junk, but set apart for Jesus. Amen. Well, Father, we look to you tonight and ask you to give us direction. Lord, we bless you and thank you so much for your word. As we delve into it, Father, we want to be led by the Spirit. So confirm it, Father, in our hearts today. Show us what you'd like us to do, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I told you that I was going to finish up something here about prayer. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. So that we can learn to pray scripturally, right? For example, we're just talking about soul winning here. Do you know in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest or unless the gospel of Christ be revealed to them. In other words, people's minds are blinded. So as we're trying to share with them, you know, Fred planted a seed. You know, like it says in the Bible, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So sometimes when you're sowing a seed, the incorruptible seed, the gospel, the good news, you may be just watering a seed that's already been planted. But there's something that's working against the gospel to keep people from it, and it's the enemy. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the god of this world system, the little G-O-D of this world system, who's blinded the minds of them who believe not. Their minds are blinded, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. If their minds aren't blinded, they're going to see the truth. So here's one thing to pray. Right now, 2 Corinthians 4:4, I command the blinders to be lifted off of Joe Biden's mind and off of Kamala Harris and off of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Command those 2 Corinthians 4:4 blinders to be lifted, that they would come to know Jesus and get born again. And you know what you can do too? You can even say, God, would you please give them both, or all four of them, a visitation of Jesus, a visitation of an angel. Or give them Holy Ghost dreams and visions, Lord. Whatever you feel led to do. Because I tell you, if a big old angel shows up in their bedroom, it just might jerk the vinegar out of them, right? And then, so break the power of that, those blinders, so they can see clearly. And then pray Ephesians 1:18 and 19 and say, Lord, thank you that the eyes of their understanding are being enlightened, that they might know the hope of the gospel, the hope to which they're called. So those two things, if you're believing for somebody to get saved, 2 Corinthians 4:4, break the power of those blinders, and Ephesians 6:1-19, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Do you have some relatives that aren't saved yet? Pray that prayer. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In the Greek, it means hold fast your giving of thanks. It's just one translation. Hold fast your giving of thanks. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted in every single area that you can imagine. Adultery, homosexuality, whatever. You name a sin, he was tempted, but he did not sin. Just because you get the thought in your mind for a second and you're tempted, that didn't mean you sinned. But Jesus was tempted in all points as a man could be, yet he did not give in to it and he did not sin. And we've got the Holy Ghost to help us so that we won't either. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can find grace to help in time of need. And you can have a prayer life that's effective. You know, I heard a person say one time, preacher say, let me see, if I got it in my notes here, I don't want to say it right. Every failure of Christian endeavor is a prayer failure. I don't care what the project was. You know, one time we had a marriage conference. We did a lot of work for it down at the old building. And I went to attend it, and not one person showed up. I thought, well, we missed it somewhere. But every failure of a Christian endeavor is a prayer failure. And conversely, every success of Christian endeavor is a prayer success. Every success of Christian endeavor is a prayer success. If it is a success, it's going to be because we prayed. We entered into the throne of grace boldly because of the blood of Jesus. To do what? To find help. In fact, one translation says it this way: approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's the NIV translation. The NLT says it this way: find grace to help us when we need it the most. Prayer grace. You release grace in the process of prayer. What is grace? It's God's willingness to use His power and His ability on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. And God releases His grace when we call upon Him. So my point on Sunday was, my third point was, let's learn to pray scripturally. Let's learn to pray according to the Bible if we want to get Bible results. Okay? Let's learn how the kingdom of God operates, in other words. Matt, where are you, son? He just left. Okay. All right, we'll get him back here. Oh, hey, son. You want to show that video clip for me? That those two, friend of mine flies a corporate jet, and he took a couple of videos. If you could show the one first of the being at 42,000 feet. My point in showing me this is he understands, probably doing about 420 knots. And you look out the front, there's a thunderstorm. Do you see that big cloud out there, the anvil-shaped cloud? That's a thunderstorm. Well, what's he going to do? He's probably going to circumvent it. He's not going to go through it, and guarantee you that. You got the other one, too? And then here he is. This is, what's that motion? What do they call that? Time-lapse photography. He's landing at Zillionople Airport on the south runway in that same jet with time-lapse photography. There's the runway. Boom. There he is. Oh, yeah. So, I think it was the south runway. Maybe it was the north one. I don't know. But anyhow, time-lapse photography is kind of fun. But he understands the system, see? And so when you understand how things work, then you have confidence, see? 42,000 feet with a thunderstorm ahead of him. He didn't panic. No, he understands what to do. You just fly around it. You don't try to go through it. But anyhow, we need to have an understanding of how the kingdom works, how prayer works, and so let's learn how it operates according to the Word of God for scriptural results. And so the first thing we've got to remember for prayer is, number one, we're talking about learning how prayer works. Number one, find the scripture that assures you of the thing you're believing God for. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a miracle. Maybe it's a financial miracle. Maybe it's a protection. Do you know you can believe God for protection? A friend of mine just got finished preaching a series on God's protection. Yeah, the same faith that got you saved is the same faith that can get you filled with the Holy Ghost, is the same faith to get you healed, is the same faith to provide a provisional miracle, and is the same faith to bring protection into your life. That's right. So you can believe God for protection. Safety, right? Those 46 years I flew. Before we took off, I'd say, Father, thank you for a good, safe flight without accident, incident, or injury. I thank you for the angels garrisoned around about this airplane in Jesus' name. And then I gave it full throttle. 46 years. So anyhow, you can believe God for protection. So number one, find the scripture that you can base it on. Well, you say, I need a financial miracle. Well, how about Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, maybe it's a healing that you need. Then you could turn to 1 Peter 2:24. He hath borne our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins may live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. No matter what it is, find the scripture that gives you legal right to ask God for that, and then put that scripture before God, because it says over there, this is point number two now, and that you can look at Isaiah 43 and verse 25. He says, I am He, Isaiah 43:25. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Thank God He blots out our transgressions. He says, for mine own sake, for His own sake, and will not remember thy sins. What a wonderful thing. Where else are you going to get forgiveness? Where else are your sins going to be blotted out, not even remembered, washed clean, justified, made just as if I had never sinned. And he won't remember them. Put me in remembrance, he said. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Put me in remembrance. Well, what do you want to put him in remembrance of? The word. Put him in remembrance of that word. What word did you look up for your healing? All right. Maybe it was Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Just put that before him. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Father God, I'm putting this word before you, and I'm believing God for healing in my knee or healing in my hip or my elbow or whatever it is. So you put him in remembrance. Why? Because that word will not return void. Isaiah 55, 11 says that his word will not return unto him void. You put that word before him, and it will not bounce back empty. It will accomplish something. Point number three. Pray and ask. Go ahead and pray. John 16, 23 says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's the correct way to pray. I said you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. According to John 16, 23. Ask him. Okay, Father, I'm believing you right now for healing in this neck problem that I have. Thank you for it. I pray and I'm believing you right now. Point number four, what do you do? Believe that you've received it. Mark 11, 24 says, what things soever ye desire. Do you desire something or is it just kind of, I'm kind of wishing and hoping. I don't know if I want it or not, but it just maybe. No, you got to desire it. You got to have a deep desire. Say, yes, I want this more than anything, you know. Whatever you desire, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. So what's he saying? The moment you pray, that's when you believe that you receive it. When do you believe that you receive it? The moment you pray. When you pray is when you believe that you receive it. You say, well, I don't have it in my hot little hand. Right, you don't. But you can still believe that you received it at that point. And the manifestation then will come. Sometimes it comes instantly. Sometimes it's a while. Sometimes there's a period of time between the amen and there it is. But you still believe that you receive it the moment that you pray. Not when it shows up. Not when the manifestation comes. You don't need faith then. No, you need faith. When you pray, believe that you receive it. And it says, and you shall have it. Those are the words of Jesus, Mark 11, 24. I didn't write that. He did. So, believe that you receive it. Not you're going to someday. Oh, someday in the sweet by and by. Oh, if someday if God just shows enough favor on me. If I work hard enough, maybe God will someday. No. The moment you pray, believe that you receive it. And then, from the amen to the there it is, in that interim, you've got to have a battle in the mind. And you don't want to get off of your faith. You don't want to veer from it. Yeah, you might have a goofy thought or something. Just cast it out and keep on going, you know. Or you might have a doubtful thought, but just cast it out and keep on going. But stand your ground. Put the word of God in you. Because it tells us in Acts 20, 32 that the word is able to build you up. That's when we saturate our hearts with the word of God. See, when we're waiting between the amen and there it is. Resist the negative thoughts and replace those thoughts. Remember we said Sunday? Resist and replace. Resist and replace. Resist the doubtful thoughts and replace them with good thoughts, word thoughts. But do not let your mind undermine your faith and disqualify your prayer. No matter how things look, keep on standing, keep on declaring, keep on believing that you have received on that particular date. Maybe it was 2 months ago. You believe you received when you prayed. And so you say, Father, I believe I received it. Well, are you healed? You don't have to answer that. All you need to say is, I believe I've received my healing. All right? Well, I see you got a broken leg. I see you're still limping. Well, I believe I received my healing. I'm not saying I'm not denying that it's there. That'd be some sort of metaphysical science. No, we're not saying that. We're just saying, I believe I received my healing. And the manifestation will come. All right? So, and then the fifth thing is this. Number five, thank him. Just thank him until you see the manifestation. Amen. Just keep thanking him. Even when you see no progress, continue to offer praise and thanksgiving. Because praise is the highest language of faith. In the interim, between the amen and there it is, praise him, thank him, feed on the word of God. Amen. Psalm 92:4 says, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. 18:3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalm 63:3 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you, thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Let's stand tonight. So you got those 5 points, right? The final one was praise him. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Keep praising him. Speak the word out loud. Read Psalm 91 out loud. But in the interim, while you're waiting for the manifestation, begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh, that you are so good, Lord. We thank you that prayer can neutralize the satanic efforts to destroy our lives. Yes, Father, there's power in prayer. Thank you for it, Father. We believe we receive tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for showing up. Enjoyed being with you. You're a blessing. We love you guys. Awesome.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.